We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
90-9, the game's coverage of 2019 AT&T Atlanta Falcons training camp continues live from Flowery Branch as we break into the 9 o'clock hour. The Falcons getting ready to take the field. Some of the players starting to walk out for day three of training camp with John and Hugh. And up on the set, Hugh, we have a couple of our good friends and a neat announcement to make that there's going to be a change to the Atlanta Falcons radio network this year, a change for what we think is going to be really, really good.
Well, one of them is a good friend, but the other one, that's not my friend. That's my cousin.
Big
that's my
cuz. Little cuz. Big cuz, look cuz.
That's my little cuz.
We can say this morning that beginning this year, the new pre- and post-game hosts for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network will be Paul Crane and Harry Douglas. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, John. We're excited about it.
Yeah, I can tell by the way you guys are just sitting here. <It's> like, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, it's great to have you guys do this. Harry, I mean, to be part of the broadcast team now with the Falcons in terms of the larger network and what you two bring and your experience, as a broadcaster, Paul, certainly your experience as a player and a broadcaster, Harry.
Well, it's a blessing, especially to be able to do this with Paul, who has so much experience in this field. And for me to be able to do it with the team that I got drafted to, the city that I'm from, it's going to be such a great thing.
And not only that, think about it. How have you been out of the game that long?
Yeah.
So how has the transition been for you so far, being that you're so close?
I'm a workaholic, so I actually literally work on my craft at home. My wife probably thinks I'm crazy as hell because I'm always in the mirror trying to work on things that I think I need to work on to be better in this field. Uh-huh. But it gives me the same thrill. It gives me the same high as if I was playing. You have to break down film. You have to watch guys. You have to study them. But you're not just studying for one team. You're doing it for two teams now. So it's one of the things where you just got to put the time in. You got to put the work in. A lot of people think you can just come off the field and just go into it. It's not that at all. You actually have to study your craft, study players, study coaches, study teams, study tendencies to be able to be great at what you do.
It's one of the many great things about having Harry part of this is he's doing more than bringing just a former athlete perspective in. He is attacking it like a job, and he talks about working on the craft. We've all seen so many athletes that show up and they just are ex-athletes and they don't work at the craft, and then there's another ex-athlete to come in to take that kind of spot. Harry is already doing what I know you do, Hugh. This is a new career, a new job. And we hear a lot about you being in football mode and what you say and the promos and lead-ins to some of the things that you do here on 92.9. Harry's like that too. He's in football mode. He's ready to go. And I think in the pre- and post-game shows this year on the Atlanta Falcon Radio Network, we're going to have a new perspective. We're going to do more than look at just the obvious. We've already talked about those moments in games that aren't part of the usual highlights. We're going to dive into that might change the game. And we're going to be using Harry's perspective to help us go deeper into things.
Now we can get your thoughts in just a moment. Paul, you and I, we go way back to our days together at CNN Sports. You've been in this business a long time, and now you're part of this broadcast team and part of the Atlanta Falcons radio network. When you kind of view the franchise right now and view the team, from you've seen it over the years. You've been here a long time. You've seen it over the years. Do you get a sense that the buzz around here about this team this year is real?
Yeah, no question. No question, because being 2 years removed from a Super Bowl appearance and having the same nucleus intact, understanding what happened last year to keep the team out of the playoffs, there's no reason not to have those kind of expectations again this year, but the buzz is real. And when you talk about things like windows of opportunity, the key players here, especially number two, is in a situation where the window's still open, but the time is now, and you get a sense everyone realizes it. And I'll be very interested to see how this extra week of practice, more than the extra game, preseason game, helps this team come along one step at a time so that when they get to the real deal, when the curtain goes up, they'll be ready to do that 1 week at a time march to what they hope will finish.
Yeah, you know what? I'm excited about this season because you talked about it. You touched on it a little bit, Paul, the unique perspective. When you think about what we have done at this station, and Terry Fox, I want to give a shout-out to Terry Fox, shameless plug, I know. But you look at the different perspectives. You're going
to
let me have this back.
I mean, yeah, I get you. You got it back.
No, I'm just kidding. but you've given this radio station a unique perspective from four different aspects. You're talking about Brian McFadden playing corner in the NFL. You talk about Randy McMichael playing a tight end spot in the trenches. And now you bring in Harry Douglas, which is a perspective that even yesterday, it was something that you said to me yesterday that I never thought of the 10 years that I played in the league. When you talked about how different it is for you to go out running around in short zone as opposed to playing in shoulder pads and how you have to catch the ball differently and do different angles and things like that. I thought that was fascinating, man, about how you have to adjust your game, even though y'all out there with them itty-bitty shoulder pads on, how you have to adjust your game in order to get ready and prepare for the season because it's totally different than going out there and just catching without those pads on.
Look, I tell people all the time, man, anybody can go out here in shorts and run around and be a practice player. But when those pads come on, it's a different ball game. And like you were saying, from a receiver's perspective, when a DB is trying to jam you without shoulder pads, it's easy. It's easy for the DB to miss because he has less to hit. When you put those shoulder pads on, you got to get used to people always touching you, being on you, and getting their hands off. So it's a different ball game when those pads come on. That's what I love to see. I love to see practices and teams go against each other when the pads are on. And these guys go against each other, compete for a job when the pads are on because it's completely different. And it's especially different, you know, in them trenches.
Yeah,
trenches,
man.
It's a different ball game, man.
But I always find it fascinating because it's like, even though we're it's like that story about the blind people, and they all feel it on the elephant and they feel a different part. That's the same thing when it comes to football because your perspective and the way where you at in the game, where you're at, where you're lined up at, is totally different than where I'm at. Because to your point, you're talking about being in a position where if that dude does not get a hand on you, it's kiss the baby because you're about to run past
He's
him.
Done.
And in the position I'm in, I'm getting touched every play. Somebody's always got hands on me. So, yeah, I think we've done a pretty good job, man, of putting together the dream team of the different aspects of how people watch football and what we see from our perspective.
I would also think that, to your point, wearing pads in the trenches might be a little different than – to add to what Harry was saying, if you're going to go up and catch the ball when you've got the pads on, it creates a whole different dynamic on your shoulders. And today, we're going to see guys in pads for the first time at training camp.
Yeah, it's going to be a little different animal. It's going to be a different animal today.
You can dive for balls. When you don't have pads on as a receiver, we was always taught, man, don't dive for balls and stuff like that. Separate. You don't want to separate a shoulder trying to dive for a ball. Next thing you know, you're out of training camp, and now you're definitely getting cut. You know what I mean? So it's things like that you have to be cognizant of and look out for.
We're talking with Paul Crane and Harry Douglas, the new team that we are newly minted pre- and post-game hosts of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network for all the games on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and down the network line for this coming season. And they're on set with us here live at Flowery Branch as we get ready for day three of practice. Harry, I want to forget about setting the receiving core up against are they the best versus the Saints or the Browns or whatever. I just want to focus kind of on those four guys of Julio, Sanu, Ridley, and Hooper. And as we see growth in Austin Hooper and we see growth in Calvin Ridley and we see what, you know, the veteran presence of Julio and Muhammad brings, that receiving core, what's your impression of it and its ability to be kind of game-breaking, record-setting, groundbreaking this season?
Personally, I think it's literally the best receiving core in the NFL. Because you have so many guys who can win their one-on-one matchups. You still have guys when they're double covered can still make the plays. You can't find receivers and tight ends like that all around the league. You can't just to have three guys like that on one team, somebody has to get one-on-one coverage. And it reminds me a lot of when I've actually played here and we had Tony, me, Julio, Roddy. And then when Tony left, it was me, Roddy, Julio, and Hester. Mm-hmm. It was basically a defense had to pick their poison. And I see that with these guys and It's going to be hard for teams because I always tell teams if you don't have four or five or six corners on your team that can play, it's going to be a long day for you with teams like the Falcons because the arsenal that they have, the offensive weapons that they have, and then you have Freeman come out of the backfield, and then you have a veteran savvy quarterback in Matt. who can deliver the football under pressure and under duress. So it's going to be – a defensive coordinator is going to be up all night trying to figure out who should we double, who should we stop, who should we one-on-one, who should we bracket. So it's going to be a tough sledding for him.
And don't forget on the tight ends alone, the addition of Luke Stocker and Logan Paulson. Two more real targets for Matt Ryan, and that doesn't even get into the competition that's going to take place for those remaining wide receiver positions, where we were talking about this earlier. Special teams is going to play a real big role in that.
Yeah. Well, you could find a team, and to your point here, you talk about like just even in like this is probably the easiest thing you could do if you want to look at the matchups and to see who the matchups favor, especially at the skill positions. Look at, say, for instance, the Falcons skill players. And then you look on the other side of the ball, and you could do it simple like this. Who do you got that matches up with my guy? And that's it. Because that's all – when you think about it in a nutshell, that's all the NFL is now.
One-on-one matchups.
It's the matchups. And you try to exploit those matchups as best you possibly can. And when you can't do that, then the thing you fall back on is you got to put pressure on somebody and try to make sure that whatever – if you got a good quarterback and he got some good receivers – the only way that you can exploit that matchup or make it in your favor is you got to heat up the quarterback.
I was just explaining to somebody yesterday. I brought up the Green Bay game when the Falcons played them in the playoffs here. Was it 2 years ago, Super Bowl run?
Right.
I remember being in the stands, and I love dissecting coverages and stuff. And I was like, I know Green Bay's not finna go cover zero. And they went cover zero in the red zone. And
they ain't got that personnel.
All the Falcons did was throw a fade to Julio for a touchdown. And it's like, but it's almost like if you're Green Bay, you're giving them a touchdown. I'm not going cover zero with Julio down there in one-on-one. I'm just not doing it.
Talking with Paul Crane and Harry Douglas, the new pre- and post-game show hosts for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network as they join us on set with John and Hugh live at the AT&T training camp. Talking about the Falcons this year. So, gentlemen, one of the questions we've been having is, we talk about those wide receivers, Devontae Freeman. Will the offensive line be, you know, a better unit? You would hope so with all the money and all the draft picks that they use. And if they are, is it possible that Matt Ryan could get to 5,000 yards passing this year?
I think just from everything you just said, sure, that's realistic. I don't know that should be the goal because you want to make sure Freeman is involved and you're running the ball and you don't have to get there. If you do get there because of big plays, I think that'd be great. And yes, the way this league throws, and especially this division, which the team's not seeing till the very end of the season, I think that's a very realistic possibility. But if it happens because you're trailing in games and throwing too much, listening to all the talk about the great skill position and this offense, that's great. But this team also needs to make sure it doesn't have to score between 30 and 40 points to win every week.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you talk about the year that Matt had last year. If you talk about that alone, it was on par with the year that he had the MVP. You're 7-9.
Almost identical.
Yeah.
Right. Almost identical.
You're 7-9. So I think that for Falcons fans, the question is whether or not he can have the same kind of season. You want to get them W's. That's the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. If we go into the season and Matt throws for 2,500 yards and y'all make it to the Super Bowl, will we make it to the Super Bowl? That's all that matters. You're going to have to give up something because when you talk about having a banner year and having a great season and going out there and throwing for 5,000 yards, if you're 7-9, it don't make a difference. It really don't because you're going home the same time everybody else going home, and that's not what you want. That's not what we're here for.
And I'll tell you this, man, as a coaching staff, when you look deep down into it, you don't want your quarterback throwing for 5,000 yards. Mm-hmm. You want to be balanced as an offense. Because the more balanced you are, it's going to open up a lot of – and it's going to free up and open up a lot of things for Freeman, for Julio, for Sanu, for Ridley, for those guys to go to work even more. So the more – that's another thing I think that they ran into last year. They won this balance last year, and that's why I think the 7-9 record came. But you have everybody healthy now. You added some hogs, some key additions to the offensive line and revamped them. And what I like about what they did is they're creating a competition. I think when you create a competition in your room eternally, it brings out the best in everybody. So the more competition you have, I think the better off the guys are going to be.
Harry,
because you don't want to give up all the goods now because we still got a whole lot of football season left. So you don't want to drop all the analysis in the first day. So you want to pull some of that back because you see everybody out here hypnotized. You see, you done hypnotized everybody. So you want to pull some of that back and tell them they got to tune in on the weekend to hear you and Paul Craig break that thing down.
Hey, we're going to go in depth with it. Paul
pull
got
it back,
great experience.
Pull it back.
I got the experience playing, so we going in depth.
But we're not leaving our best shots on the practice team. Yeah. We're ready to get out there on the course.
Yeah, pull it back. Pull it back.
The Ranger Rick, right? Yeah, I mean, the old Ranger Rick, right? Paul Crane, Harry Douglas, the new pre- and post-game show host for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Gentlemen, thanks. Appreciate it.
No, thank
and
you.
And congratulations, by the way. All right, we continue live with our coverage as the Falcons get set to take the field in practice day number 3 on a beautiful day in Flowery Branch for AT&T Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Ah, the sounds of the National Football League as our coverage of 2019 AT&T Falcons training camp continues live from Flowery Branch. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Some of the Falcons on the field loosening up ahead of day 3 of practice here in Flowery Branch. And Hugh Douglas, a lot of NFL headlines to get into and some other little fun topics around the league.
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, we forgot to mention it, that Harry Douglas is having his 10th annual back-to-school bash Saturday, August 3rd, 2019, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's the Douglas Brothers Foundation Incorporated, and the city of Jonesboro presents music, food, and giveaways. Free school supplies given to the first, 400? No, let me get that right. First 600 Clayton County children, K through 8. It's at 155 Lee Street Park, Jonesboro, Georgia. Former Atlanta Falcons player Harry Douglas, autograph signing as well. So, yeah, go make sure you check that out. August 3rd, 2019 at 155 Lee Street Park, Jonesboro, Georgia. So check him out.
And Harry and his brother do a lot of great
the
work
Douglas
in the community.
Brothers, yes.
Yeah, they really do. And I honor them for all the great work they do in the community. To the NFL, today the Carolina Panthers will open their training camp in North Carolina, and tomorrow Tampa Bay and the Swampers will start their training camp. Some of the news and notes around. Hugh, we a lot of buzz this morning in talking about a story that broke yesterday revolving around Adrian Peterson and the fact that in his career he has made $100 million. I really want you to speak to this because it's not just the story, but it's what you can kind of add to it. He's made $100 million, and yet he finds himself, as he starts this year, deeply in debt.
Yeah.
And this is really kind of surprising that you could make that kind of money and be in that kind of a situation.
Well, John, it's not surprising to me because you hear a lot of stories like this. And matter of fact, I hate to hear stories like this where guys have trusted financial advisors to you know, manage their money for them and they make some bad deals. And then you have a situation like this. When I was reading the story, I saw that it said that he owes some creditors some money in the excess of like $6 million. And I know for a lot of people on the outside looking in, that's hard to believe. And the first thing they want to say, well, how does he make so many stupid investments? Think about it like this, people. Your job is to focus on football, and you entrust yourself, just like everybody else does, to manage your 401k and things of that nature. The biggest difference is he's in a situation where he's gotten a windfall. So they're trying to diversify his portfolio, do all this other stuff. And sometimes with that being said, you might get somebody, a financial advisor out there, that's just churning money, and he's not really worried about it. And as a player, you're probably looking at it like, you know, when you first get in, oh, I'm probably going to get a chance to, you know, recoup this loss or whatever, because that's basically what you're told. Oh, they're just paper losses, and that's kind of the way that you're kind of groomed into that, not knowing, you know, the full ramifications. And that's what it kind of sounds like what happened. I don't know the full details, and you know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of not cool to pass judgment on somebody when you really don't know the full details. But it's just unfortunate because when you look at the type of money that he's made, it's unfortunate that he had to take out loans in the first place.
Right. And so, again, this is just cautionary. You're absolutely right. We do not know the details of why this money was kind of squandered in a way or what happened to the money. But, you know, doesn't it go back to is there a responsibility within Hugh, the NFLPA, and even to some degree to the owners, to really educate players, to set up funds, to, you know, have places where they can, you know, for lack of a better term, kind of park their cash, some of their cash,
they do,
where it's protected?
They do. And this is the unfortunate thing about it, is that you have situations where you have shady financial advisors and you have guys that are in guys' corner that really don't have their best interests in mind. And sometimes you take lumps like that. You take falls because you don't know any better. You're talking about going from stuff that, like think about it like this, Jar Freaky. You talk about your 401k, mm-hmm. and you talk about your investments and all that other stuff.
Right.
That's something that you learned over a period of years.
Correct.
Learning how to invest through trial and error. Like, that's the reality of it. You've learned how to invest through trial and error. And you've made mistakes where you were able to, because of the longevity of your career, you were able to bounce back from, and you learn from those mistakes.
Correct.
In an NFL player, it's not the same thing. You are – everything that you're learning about finances and how to put your money in certain stocks and how to diversify from blue chip funds or whatever else you're going to do, you're learning that in a shorter period of time. It's condensed over the course of 6 months, because before – like when you get drafted, you got like 3 months before you get your first check or whatever, and then you're playing your football season. So you're put in a situation where you have to entrust people that you've been told – that, hey, we got your best interest in hand and that, yada, yada, yada. So you're learning on the fly while you're making money. So when you're told that, you know, you're lost on this investment or the stock market did this, or you're putting some high-risk stuff and things like that, you're not thinking about that because you're playing football. And you're making, for the money that you've invested, oh, I'm making $2 million. So it's not that big of a deal until it is. And by that time, then that's when you learn that everything ain't like you thought it was. And that's where the problem there is and lies. And I know somebody's out there saying, well, why don't you watch your money? You do watch your money. But at the same time, when you're constantly being told by people who have been doing this for years that, hey, these are paper losses and the stock market bounces back and everything's going to be fine, because technically, as long as you keep your money in the market, everything's going to be fine. But then when it's not fine, that's where the problem lies. And then when you find out that people have been skimming money off the top, or they've been making moves with your money just before they could get a commission, then that's when it becomes a problem. And I think, like, just listening to this story on the surface, it kind of sounds like a little bit of that. And no matter what you say, I can sit here and try to explain this the best that I can. People are still going to pass judgment on him and say he did this, that, and third, because they're not going to understand that. But I think that, it, like, listening to this story, I think it was more on that end as opposed to anything else.
Your agent was Drew Rosenhaus.
Yes.
And now, do agents, and pardon me for not knowing this, do they have as part of what you pay the agent, is there like a separate part of his firm that deals with the finances?
You can have guys that do that. You can have some firms that they handle your money and they try to educate you on you know, stocks and things of that nature. They do all of that. And sometimes you can get with somebody, even in that case, they're looking at you and they know that you make a lot of money and that you're not gonna be watching it as closely as, say, like you would, John Freaky, because you know what the game is. They take advantage of situations like that. And you have to go back and you have to look at everything that they're doing. And when you do that, then that's when you start to find out. I mean, it happened to me. You got to go back and you have to look at certain things that are happening, and you wait too long to get educated about what's going on. And then that's when it becomes a problem.
I imagine that once you have that windfall, Hugh Douglas, as we broadcast obviously live from Flowery Branch with the emergency vehicles in the background right now, when you have that windfall, it – as you said, as an athlete, all of a sudden you have people coming at you from every angle, and you know, you get a lot of things going on in your ear at the same time, and it can be kind of confusing.
It's very, very confusing, John. I remember I had my first financial advisor I had, and that's why I know too well this story. The first one I had, when I set up my first bit of money in the NFL, I remember him vividly setting up a fund, like, you know, just give you a bunch of checks, say, hey, man, if you want, you could pay your bills from this check, this fund. And I was a little leery, because I'm like, dog, I make way too much money to be using the money that I've invested. Like, something ain't right. Something mm-hmm. ain't right. And he would always try to push me, hey, man, you want to go get a car? Hey, go buy it. Like go buy it from this account. You're like, get the money out of this account. And I would never do it, because it just didn't feel right. It's just like, why am I writing checks when I got cash? Come to find out years later that he was churning money. And like he had got out a loan. I forgot what they called it. But the loan, he pledged some of my stock against this loan. And I'm like, what the hell? Why the hell are you pledging stocks against my loan, like against a loan? And come to find out it was like almost $1 million.
Wow.
Luckily, I caught it in time. But at that point, it was too late. So I had to pay that money back. But that's what I'm talking about, John, because there's so many different ways that you could get guys from doing stuff because they don't really understand. And I just knew, something told me. I'm like, dog, why am I writing checks for stuff when I can just go pay cash? Because, you're talking about the time when I'm at the height of making money where my first check could pay the bills, my bills for the whole season. Like, all the bills in the house paid, done for that whole year. So now I'm living like I'm waiting for next year, and I'm just putting money away. But he's trying to get me to buy stuff and do this, that, and the third, and buy it with checks and stuff so that he can hide the money that he's churning. And I caught wind of it. But it was too late at that point, and I had to pay that money back. Fired that guy, and the NFL came in, and they did what they were supposed to do, but it was too late. Money gone. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it happens.
Yeah, it is a cautionary tale, and one we will find out more about. This story about Adrian Peterson, which you can Google and read if you want to, and these players who get taken advantage of, and, boy, it's really not a good situation, and that's why I hope the NFLPA and the owners continue to do more of a job of education and protecting these players financially, because they certainly, a lot of these young athletes need it, because they just, like you said, I mean, it's one thing to be, my age and having gone through it. Hey, listen, I made mistakes when I was in my 20s too. Cost me a lot of money. I cashed out a 401k at one point, which is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my entire life. But what did I know at the time? I was a dumb young kid. We continue live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. More NFL headlines ahead as the Falcons take the field for day three on a beautiful, glorious day in Northeast Georgia on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from Flowery Branch as our coverage of AT&T Falcons training camp continues. One of the things we'll be doing from this point on, of course, is updating you on all the stories from around the league, and especially with a focus on the NFC South, Hugh, in our division of some of the storylines that are taking place at other camps. There are 10 teams that report today for NFL training camp. One of those, the Carolina Panthers. Tampa and New Orleans start an open camp tomorrow. One of the 10 also today, L.A. Chargers, and Melvin Gordon out there saying there's no chance he's going to show up.
No chance. Yep. And the fact that I saw on Instagram and Twitter, Jalen Ramsey shows up to training camp for the Jacksonville Jaguars in a Brinks truck. you talk about putting a target on your back, and had a hype man. I thought it was pretty funny, man, but that's what these kids do nowadays. Yeah. They do something real crazy. As a matter of fact, what did he say? Covered man. Yeah, that's him. That's what he said, something like that. But he had wait a minute. Excuse me. It was Ha-Ha Davis that was announcing him. Yeah, that's right. Ha-Ha Davis. I didn't even notice that. Orange Sigma just told me that in my ear, that it was Ha-Ha Davis that announced Jalen Ramsey going to training camp. So that's pretty cool. That was pretty cool. But at the same time, boy, the minute he gets burnt, boy, people going to be on him like a pair of tight drawers. Yeah, Burt, man.
Yeah,
Burt,
toasted.
Man.
Yeah, that's him. Is he going to go in on other teams' quarterbacks again this year, Jalen Ramsey, like he did?
Well, he feels like they have a quarterback now. Nick Foles has got a lot on his shoulders
Yes, he does.
Has a lot on his shoulders.
Of course, Melvin Gordon, not the only one. There are four. I mean, there are other guys holding out from camp, but four really notable ones that we're kind of monitoring. Zeke Elliott, of course, with the Dallas Cowboys.
He ain't coming to camp.
And we mentioned Melvin Gordon. Of course, Jadeveon Clowney with the Houston Texans.
Big 2 Chainz. He ain't coming to camp.
And now Trent Williams with the Washington Redskins. But, Hugh, Trent is a
beast.
A different story, too.
He's a little bit older, too, right?
Right, but Trent's holding out for a different reason. He wants to be traded because they found on Trent Williams, went into the doctor after complaining of headaches, and they found a growth in his skull, and he believes strongly that he was that the medical team of the Washington Redskins missed taking care of him. And he doesn't trust the medical team, and he blames the team for not catching what was going on with him earlier, and he says he wants nothing to do with the franchise because of it. And I can't say in that regard that I blame him.
I mean, knowing what Trent has been to the Washington Redskins and knowing how tough he is, like I've seen Trent put hands on many a good defensive player. And for him to feel that way and then knowing some of the injuries that he's had and had to battle through, I don't blame him. I don't blame him because he's a guy. He's one of them 110 guys. And what I mean by that, he gives 110%. I would say for him, the love that he had for the Redskins organization, he feels betrayed. And there's nothing – when you feel that level of betrayal, I mean, ain't no coming back from that. I can definitely feel him on that because I could just think bad. I remember a couple times when I saw him playing against Trent Cole and how Trent was out there. I think he was hurt then. I forgot what was wrong with him. But he was out there hurt putting hands on Trent Cole. And I was like, dude, respect. Like, you know that – you talk about that level of nasty that, mm-hmm. that me and Coach Quinn was talking about yesterday. Right. Trent had that level of nasty in him. And that's the way that he played. And he was the type of guy that if there was a chance that he would play, he'd play. So, yeah, I feel him on that. If he feel that level of disrespect and the level of betrayal, ain't no way you come back from that. So, yeah, they probably have to move on from that.
And Trent Williams, one of the great left tackles in the NFL over the last number of years. And if he's out in D.C., be interesting to see if the Redskins are able – what they're able to get if they have to trade him because he says he's not going to show up. You don't want to play for him anymore.
He'll probably retire. He'll probably retire. If they don't want to trade him, he'll just say forget it. And if the Redskins don't honor him what he wants to do, that's the highest level of petty that you can have, especially if he's made the way that he feels about the organization known. If they turn back around and just, you know, hold on to his rights and don't trade him, they're dead wrong for that. The level of petty, I would probably – even try to sue those cats behind that.
Right, you know, and it's interesting because if you go back to, like, when we'll use a different sport, if you go back to the NBA to what happened with Kevin Durant, in how the Golden State medical team sort of missed the severity of whatever was going on in his leg that led to him popping that Achilles the way he did. It's another kind of undersold thing, Hugh, in terms of you're putting your – you know, you're putting your well-being and your future and trust into the medical team of a franchise, and if you get the wrong advice or they just miss something, that could be not only costly to your career, but to more than just that.
Yeah, and I think that's what he's thinking, because I'm thinking back on medical records as a whole and wondering, you know, if somebody else caught it, why didn't you catch it? You know, and doctors are human. I understand that. But just listening to this story – and hearing the severity of which this growth is and you know, just looking at x-rays and not being an x-ray technician myself, but I can tell you can tell when some things on x-rays don't look right. And for them not to be able to pick that up, that to me would make me a little uncomfortable as well. That would make me very uncomfortable.
We are live at Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Our buddy Von McClure of ESPN has put out a story, just an update.
Oh, he our buddy now?
Yeah, what?
Von our buddy?
I've always been buddies with Vaughn.
I'm just asking. I just wanted to make sure. Like, right, I'm trying to squash this whole Twitter radio team beast thing. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, Vaughn and I have been friends for a while.
Okay, just checking.
He's put out a story. It's been picked up by NFL.com. Just a little bit of an update. It's nothing that we don't know, really, in a way. With Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff saying that the Julio extension will get done and it will be done before the season begins. And I think we all believe that. I think there's a lot of people believe that in the next couple of days we could hear word that Julio's new deal will be done and he'll be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. So while these other teams, the Chargers with Melvin Gordon or, you know, Zeke Elliott, you know, I mean, how much of a, you know, forget it. Look, the Chargers, Melvin Gordon's a good running back. But if he doesn't show up to Chargers camp, that's one thing. If Zeke Elliott doesn't show up to Cowboys camp, to me, that's entirely another. The Chargers can move forward. Melvin Gordon may just kind of over – he's a good running back, but he is not the offense. With the Dallas Cowboys, Zeke might be the offense.
You know what? The difference in these two stories is this, John. We think we know what's going to happen if Melvin Gordon doesn't show up. And what I mean by that is we think that they're going to be okay. We've seen what happens when Zeke don't play for the Cowboys.
Right.
And I just find it funny because I know Cowboy fans out there probably sweating bullets. Please, Jerry, get it done. Please. Because we've seen Dak. We've seen what Dak looked like trying to be back there being a quarterback. Come on now. Fix it, Jesus. I know. There's some Cowboys fans back there. They praying right now that Zeke show up to camp because they do
well,
not
you,
want
why would
that.
You pay Dexter Lawrence the money you paid him? And the hopes are high. I mean, Dallas got a great offensive line, but if you don't have that running back behind the offensive
fix
line,
it, Jesus.
You know, I mean, what's the point of it? I mean, you know, you have to take advantage of it. I mean, Zeke Elliott, and then again, no offense to Melvin Gordon, but Zeke Elliott's simply a better player than Melvin Gordon.
Fix it, Jesus. I feel like, you know what I feel like right now in this situation, and I'm trying not to be that way because I understand, like, I just went in on Paul Feinbaum for being a Alabama guy and being an SEC guy. Me being a former Eagle, not laughing at the Cowboys the way that I'm doing, I need to stop that. I need to be more professional about this situation.
Why?
But I'm not. But I'm not. I hope he doesn't. Like, listen, if he doesn't show up to camp, bye-bye, Cowboys. Y'all season is going in the tank because he's not playing. Y'all going to have to rest your whole season on Dak Prescott. Fix it, Jesus.
Andy and Randy coming up top of the hour.
Hey, I just see Carl Dukes. Carl Dukes is here, everybody.
Oh, yeah, there he is. Live from Flowery Branch, everybody who's anybody on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.